You're listening to the Sights and Sound Show with me, Janae Darden. We're living in times that will be told in history books for many, many years to come. And while some may be reimagining a better future, there's also people looking to the past for answers. How did our ancestors overcome days that were like these and even worse? This came to mind for me when I saw Conjuring Power, Roots and Futures of Queer and Trans Movements. It's currently running at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts in San Francisco. The multimedia exhibition features works inspired by the history of resistance by trans and queer communities, and it's also a celebration of that resistance as well. Joining me are the exhibition's co-curators. Tina Valentin Aguirre is a documentarian, poet, and director of the Castro LGBTQ Cultural District. And Cato de Robertis is a creative writing professor at San Francisco State University and an award-winning, I just got to say it, super dope writer. That's the best word I can come up with. Welcome, Tina and Cato.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Janae. It's such a joy to be back on your show. And I will always take a super dope. Okay. Thank you.
I was like, I know you're a professor, but that's what came up for me was super dope. Both of you two, congratulations on such a beautiful exhibition. It really, really, really is beautiful. And I learned so much, so much history there and just seeing what others see, you know, as far as what's going on today. Where did the idea come from, Conjuring Power? How did you two come together to create this?
Well, I'll jump in and share that Gato was approached by YBCA for an exhibition and thankfully reached out to me regarding possibly just talking about the opportunity. Gato, do you want to share a little bit about that initial moment and what led to us coming together for the show?
Yeah, it actually started way back in January of 2025. So the show really took 15 months altogether to envision and then curate. And I was first approached by YBCA staff because of my work on the Elders Project, which mm-hmm. is an oral history project, a national project. I was a Baldwin Emerson Fellow, and I had the great honor of interviewing 30 queer and trans elders of color of the West Coast and creating a collection that led to a book called So Many Stars, an oral history of trans, non-binary, gender, queer, and two-spirit people of color. And so that work of collecting these voices of leaders and icons and also everyday heroes who took part in breaking the ground to make our lives more possible today, you know, that work was something that the museum imagined possibly occupying a gallery space, mm-hmm. which was so exciting to me,
yeah.
as a writer and then as an oral historian. It's such a different thing to step into, you know, visual and physical space. And as I started to imagine that possibility of creating a space where archive meets art and history meets imagination and visioning of the future, all revolving around queer and trans culture and ingenuity and solidarity, I couldn't think of a better collaborator than Tina Valentin Aguirre with their vision and artistry and deeply rooted activism. So it was thrilling to collaborate and come up with a vision for Conjuring Power that YBCA, you know, accepted and rolled with. And we worked with so many artists. We commissioned original art and, you know, I mean, maybe Tina could say more about the Queer Ancestors Project pieces, collaborating with the GLBT Historical Society. But there are all of these different layers that we got to weave into this very collective exhibition, whose vision is to really show the kaleidoscopic, rich, ranging nature of our queer and trans communities, cultures, and possibilities.
Yeah, there definitely was a range and there was so many layers. You know, you saw the diversity within the queer and trans communities. I've noticed futurism as a theme in more exhibitions today and literary anthologies, mm-hmm. Particularly by marginalized groups. And your exhibition, Conjuring Power, Roots and Futures of Queer and Trans Movements. And thinking of that title, I'm thinking about how people seek knowledge and energy from the past as strength for the future. Talk about coming up with that name or that title and what that title means to you both.
Sure.
Tina?
I'll jump in right here, I guess. First off, thank you for having us again here on the show. And I guess I'll back up and add a little bit to what Gatto had shared about the start of the show. Initially, we were given a prompt to possibly consider doing an exhibition centering Harvey Milk. And both Gatto and I agreed that was not necessary, that there are many things that center Harvey Milk. There's an airport terminal. There's, I think there's a stamp. There was at one point a ship. I know that's in contention. And there's an opera. There's many things that center Harvey Milk. And it kind of takes up a lot of space in terms of queer and trans culture. And we both agreed that we wanted something that was more about us as queer and trans folks who mostly are underrepresented in the arts and in culture and in politics. I work with the Castro LGBTQ Cultural District, and we center lesbians and queer women, trans folks, and LGBTQ people of color, because we observe racial, gender, and class equity frameworks. And what I brought to this conversation, and Gatto and I were exactly on the same page, was that these times, they're fraught with tension and anxiety in terms of the resurgence of fascism, and how we both work with intergenerational artists and community members. I've been mentored by my elders. At this point, I am an elder. Gatto's a professor to college students, and I am a teaching artist with Queer Ancestors Project. Queer Ancestors Project is a local organization in San Francisco that serves transitional age, queer, and trans youth, mostly youth of color. Mm-hmm. And there's two art projects that they do. One is block printmaking. It's a 10-week generative workshop series. And then there's another one that's a 10-week writing workshop series. I'm a teaching artist for both of them. And I go in and share art. I'm a movie maker and producer and writer and stories, really, about community building. And what I'm finding is that all of us are hungry and eager to just reconnect with the dots in terms of where we've been, mm-hmm. in order to understand what's happening and where we need to go. I'll also share, I was mentored by many people, but one of them is Osa Hidalgo de la Riva, PhD, Dr. Osa Bear, who is a poet and a filmmaker, Chicana, feminist, and she lives in Santa Cruz and is somewhat of a brown hippie who transcends space and time. And talking with her is always kind of an exercise before, like, you know, hyperlinks and the internet. We met in the 80s and in the early 90s. We would talk in ways that were like, oh, we're going back in time. Oh, we're in the future. Oh, we're in a different space. And it really stayed with me. It really works for me in terms of acknowledging that us as queer and trans folks, we transcend moments, that we as queer and trans folks, not only have we been here the whole time and will we always be here, there's also some of us who are really special in terms of being artists, visionaries, acting as mentors and teachers and leaders, and that those of us who do that, play those roles, often we are tapped to sort of make sure that others understand that we are part of a continuum and that we do transcend space and time. Conjuring Power for us was a way to engage with what is happening at the moment, but also to say it is not just of the moment, that it's within us as humans that we are good and we are bad, but also us as queer and trans folks, we, and especially underrepresented queer and trans folks, that we were almost always likely to experience discrimination and exclusion What does that mean to us when we want to move past just thriving to a place of, or rather than just surviving, but also to thriving, but also that some of us see fabulosity and grandeur.
Yeah,
in
Tina,
what we need to do.
And that's one of the things I liked about the exhibit is, again, it's honoring the history, but also to celebrating the people, celebrating the resistance, celebrating the culture and the cultures within the culture as well. And I'm looking at there was some artists who, there's multiple artists in the exhibition, but some names were, I saw several times, like Esther Hernandez, is it Serge Gay Jr.? Tanya, and how do you pronounce Tanya's last name?
Wisharath, Tanya Wisharath.
Tanya Wisharath with that bomb mural, that mural that just took my breath away. Crystal Mason, and again, there's other artists. What did these artists deliver and what you were looking for?
So we were incredibly fortunate to work with these very, very gifted and visionary queer artists. Esther Hernandez's iconic Nasty Liberty is this rendering of the Statue of Liberty as a kind of tatted up, graffitiing the word resist.
Yeah.
And it is a painting that we decided to have blown up to sort of mural wall size in the ante room. So when you walk in, from the get-go,
that's the
this
first
kind of
piece
call,
you see.
Yeah, the first piece you see, this iconic piece by the great Esther Hernandez, mm-hmm. you know, that is like, we are here on the margins and we call to resist. We know that there is an urgency in the now. We also know that this urgency to create space for justice, survival possibility is of today, but also not new. That our queer and trans communities, including queer and trans communities of color, have always, you know, innovated to create the space that we needed in a world that was, you know, sort of institutionally against our existence. And we've done it in, you know, magical and powerful ways. We can draw on those roots and we can vision into the futures. So when you walk past that piece, then you walk in and there's a section of this exhibit that is sort of loosely organized as the roots. So it's like honoring past and legacy, yeah. art and archive. And you walk through that hallway, the walls are green. And then you tip from there into the visions area. Serge Gay Jr. and Tanya Wisharath were each commissioned to do a significant amount of artwork. Serge Gay Jr., among other things, created beautiful collages out of photographs from the GLBT Historical Society's collection that really honor a lot of the movement work that, you know, happen in queer and trans communities. So like marches and resistance events, and all of these are kind of created into an artistically rendered collage.
Yeah, they're very unique for people. For the listeners. They're very unique collages.
And we're so lucky to have had his eyes on them. And then Tanya Wisharath just created these beautiful pieces, Nest of Elders 1 and 2, which are the faces of the elders whose oral histories from my oral history project are in audio stations, where people can have this very interactive experience of putting on headphones and listening to clips mm-hmm. of these, you know, groundbreaking, trailblazing elders of color talking about, you know, what it was to be queer in childhood, thoughts for younger generations, art and activism, visions for the future. And then above you, as you're listening and with these headphones, you can see the artistic renderings of their faces.
Yeah, it's almost like a cloud. It's almost like a cloud of these.
It's like a cloud. Yeah, when we talked about it, we said it's kind of like a nest. And I said, it's kind of like a nest of elders. And I had my mind blown so much sitting in people's kitchens and living rooms, you know, recording their stories and bearing witness to them, that it was so moving to see them in this kind of cloud or nest of, like, either they're themselves and they're individuals, but they're also interconnected, which is what is true and beautiful about our communities, right? We are each wholly and entirely, dazzlingly ourselves, and we are also interconnected. And so those renderings are from Tanya. And then we invited each of them to create original art for the visions area. And we said to each of them, please, like, basically run wild with this prompt of, like, what do you think we need to create our best queer and trans futures. And so you brought up sort of Afrofuturism, Janae. You said like futurism, but I think like Afrofuturism in the literary world has really led the charge.
In a
beautiful way, from like our great master grandmama, you know, Octavia Butler onward, all of this brilliance drawing on the realities of the past to vision the future. Serge Gay Jr. as a Black Haitian American artist, I think is very actively drawing on Afrofuturism in his brilliant work.
I definitely
did you
that
feel
up.
That
I
in his pieces?
I definitely felt that. I love the way how that mural, you see Serge's collage in Tanya's and Tanya's mural. And because at first I thought it was one piece and I was like, oh, it's separate.
So Serge created his own large, you know, visionary paintings of visions for the future rooted in Afrofuturism and imagination. And then Tanya had this vision of working with spores and the notion of a spore network.
Wow.
It's a spore network cut out of paper, a mural size. And it's hard to explain it. Now it's up there until August 23rd. And when it comes down, it cannot be shown again because the paper will not survive being taken down. It is temporal art. So this is the time to witness
that. And I have you all, when I saw that piece, that mural, I was so moved. And so I really encourage everyone to see it. I was talking to the security guard there, and he said it took them a long time to put it up because it's so delicate. So
it's enormous and delicate and intricate.
It takes up two walls. Yes,
and it's a symbol of the solidarity movement work that we have always done and will always do as queer and trans and marginalized people. And a lot of it is invisible labor underground, like other sport networks. And it goes and goes and goes. And then in those futures we envision, it bursts to the surface in this kind of luminous explosion of light and color. And that is what she wanted to create. Now, she, as an artist, she bought a pack of 200 X-Acto knives and went through all of them creating that. And then she collaborated with Serge, and they sort of put their genius minds together, and he created this piece that is integrated underneath in the spores, a painting of people's bodies kind of moving together in these very moving ways.
Yeah, and I didn't know how that, I didn't know if it was kind of, it almost kind of, I was thinking slave ship. I was thinking like, I didn't know, you know, and then I was thinking like dancing and, you know, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. There's room for imagination into it.
I think incubation, we incubate during periods of time. Well, I like to look at it as, you know, we go through cycles where we mobilize, we act up, we make change, we show up in the streets against cycles of oppression. And but then there are also times when we are living our lives and creating and enjoying sharing our beauty and our magic with each other. And for us, what we saw was that this is all happening kind of at the same time. We just enter in at different points. Actually, the show is separated in different areas, but if you notice, there are beaded entries into each
beaded
walls.
I cannot tell you all how many times I walked through those beaded curtains.
Those beaded curtains are meant to be a little trippy entree to show that, yes, you can go through the show using a chronological kind of trajectory, but you can also afterward maybe say, you know what, I want to go back to this moment, or I want to go back to this place. That is because we as people doing this, experiencing this, we tap into, you know, our past, our ancestors, and we look to the future. We sometimes, I think we're visited by some of people from the future to say, hey, get out of this moment here. Get out of thinking that this is new, you're alone, you're isolated. We are part of something more.
I love the beaded curtain too, because that's also for me the celebration as well, because it is festive. I'm thinking like back in the 70s with parties and stuff, and people would have beaded curtains, and yeah. it's so pretty. And it was so quiet in the gallery hall. So when you would walk through the beaded curtains, it made this really, really beautiful noise, beautiful sound. For our listeners,
did you see the back area too? I'm sorry.
Oh yeah.
Did you see the back area too?
We went. We were all over. Oh yeah, we saw everything. All right, let me remind people who you are for people that's just tuning in. I'm chatting with Tina Valentin Aguirre and Caro de Oro Ortiz. They both curated the art exhibition Conjuring Power, Roots and Futures of Queer and Trans Movements, and is currently running at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts in San Francisco until August 23rd. And we highly, highly recommend that you all check it out. I want to play a clip, Caro, from the Elders Project, because you have these great audio stories that are there. And it was hard for me to walk away from them because they were so good and so engaging. But there's so much to think about when you listen to these stories. So here's a clip from trans activist Donna Persona, who has been on the show, and she gives advice to trans and gender nonconforming youth.
Don't get caught up in approval. Don't get caught up in, does that one like me? Are they okay with what they see? Because when you do that, then you're giving them some power over you.
I wanted to know, because
that's my auntie.
Donna.
She's my auntie. Yeah, Donna's one of my aunties.
Donna is fabulous. And again, she's been on the show, and I really enjoy talking to her. And I learned so much from her, too. So to both of you, Tina and Caro, you know, there's space in this exhibit for young people. You have a curriculum. You have questions for them. How have young people reacted to this exhibit? Have you got any word on how the youths?
Good question. What about the youth? You know, because we got the elders up there. Well, I will say also that's been one of the beautiful things about the project is how we integrated in the Queer Ancestors Project pieces, because Queer Ancestors Project artists are young, transitional age, 18 to 26 year old queer and trans youth who study queer and trans history and then create prints inspired by that. And we went through hundreds of prints in their archives. And we're really grateful to collaborate with Katie Gilmartin of the project to draw in and choose 25 prints that are up and framed as well and integrated into the show. Mm-hmm. So that's one way we've worked with youth is by really uplifting and highlighting youth artistic creations as an integral part of what's living in the gallery. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, it's been incredibly moving to hear from young people about how this exhibit has spoken to them. I mean, across the board, but I would say particularly with queer and trans youth. I mean, I've just had so many experiences on opening night. A friend brought somebody who they're kind of a madrina to, who is this young teenage Black trans girl. And it was her face was just so incredibly lit up. And she was like, I'm just seeing all of these things here and it's speaking to me so deeply. And I was able to walk her over to the audio stations and say, here are some Black trans women you could listen to, like listen to Sharon Grace and she already loves you. And it was just this incredibly moving thing. And then just on Saturday, I was there to lead a tour for a nonprofit and happened on a couple of young women who were in the room for dreaming, which is the final part of the show, which is a room where there is a video that we commissioned from the artist Crystal Mason. That's an invitation into dreaming your own relationship to your own power, so that this show is not just something where you can go and observe art, but it's really a crucible for your own igniting and awakening and connection to your own sources of power within yourself. And there's papers on a table where people can write. And I found these young women and they're just like really thinking and looking around and writing on the papers, and you can hang them on the wall. And I got to have this lovely conversation with them. So it has been really moving to see how it's and how many youth have said to me, you know, there's so much history in here that I didn't get to receive anywhere else. And it's really opened that up for me in a way that is creative.
Yeah, and I didn't, like, I know I learned so much. Like, I didn't know there was a riot in L.A. This was before Stonewall, 10 years. Cooper's Donuts. I didn't know about that. I didn't know about, it kind of was familiar to me, but the group of lesbians, I think, and they would, like, burn things or eat fire. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What were their names again? I can't remember their names. Forgive me.
Well, I know we sent her the Lesbian Avengers.
Yes, the Lesbian Avengers. Organizers. That's what I'm thinking of.
The Lesbian Avengers. I love
their icon, their logo has a bomb because they were sort of like metaphorically the grenade throwers in activism, especially in the 90s.
Okay.
And they're fabulous. We centered all forms of activism and community building, really, because we acknowledge that we need all of it right now. That some of us, there's also, if you look at some of the collages, there's photos that we included. I went through ephemera and photos at the Historical Society for months, actually for a book that the Castro LGBTQ Cultural District published last year on the Castro.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, I was putting stuff aside for the show. And some of the photos were of gay liberation front organizers in the Bay Area, Bay Area Gay Liberation.
Okay.
And those photos, they show people in small spaces, they're on the floor, you could tell they're kind of arguing, it's probably sweaty and hot. And that it really shows how, like, we use all tactics, we use all strategies, and to get there, we have to come together and get to a place of commonality. And maybe we don't all, you know, march. Maybe we don't all want to go to, like, state and city, like, hearings where we give testimony. Maybe we do, maybe some of us are creating art. People like me and Caro, we kind of do all the above, or let's say like my day job with the district includes policy making and organizing across the state. Coalition building is something that we really brought to this. And I'll just share, for me, that came out of my mentors. When I got to San Francisco in the late 80s, 1987, I was mentored by people who participated in Gay and Lesbian Latinos Alliance Gala. And they partnered with groups like the Third World Advisory Task Force, Third World Organizers, Radical Lesbians. And they taught those of us who came in, they were from more the 60s and 70s. They taught those of us who came in the 80s and mobilized us for the AIDS movement and cancer and crack and responding to poverty during those times. And then I think what our roles are in many ways is to say, these are the stories of our people. These are the ways that we flourish and rejoice. You are amongst us. You are amongst all of us as your people. We can do this. Not only can we get through this moment, we are better than the strife that we are experiencing right now.
Yeah.
And where's the balance to, and like I said, I pinpointed some things for me where I see celebration. But for you all, where do you see the celebration in this resistance, the celebration, you know, of these of queer and trans folks? Where do you see that? Or where can people go to the exhibition and see that?
You know, we're doing a panel next Wednesday where you can rejoice with us in person.
Okay, like, where did, you let have folks to know read about that. Us.
Yeah, that is next Wednesday, the 19th at 6 p.m. at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. And Caro and myself and Serge and Tanya and Crystal are all going to be there. Caro is facilitating, and it's going to be awesome. It's free as well. So
nice.
That's going to be great. For us, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll add one last thing. For me, what I am so happy about is our opening night, we had 1,200 plus people show up.
Wow.
And this was a lot of people who they're activists, they're organizers, they're in it, right? And they're like, how were you able to do this under such duress? And I think what Caro and I are clear on is not only is it important that during times of duress, it's actually always important that we lead with this artistry, that we are grand. We have grandeur.
So last question, we have a minute. You have that section in the back, that room, and one of the questions posted is, what do you need to dream? So we have about 50 seconds. What do you need to dream for, you know, whether it's for a better future or for just for the present? What do you need to dream?
We need joy. We need courage, community, imagination, connection, and to be our whole fabulous selves. For those of us who are queer and trans, to be as queer and trans as F.
I'll add to that, and to continue and to carry on, Tina. I'll say love. Like I have a husband, Bill Jennings, and Gato has loved ones, and we share our love. And I'd say love is the other large, big ingredient that's needed.
Well, again, congratulations to you both. It's a great exhibition, and I really highly encourage people to check it out before it ends on August 23rd. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Tina Valentin Aguirre and Cato de Robertis are co-curators of Conjuring Power, Roots and Futures of Queer and Trans Movements. And you can catch that at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts in San Francisco until August 23rd.